Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahmanas Dulaye Bhutam Anyat Pashyami Vipra Kim Atha Param Tu Yasmin Nibi Prahutam Shraddayaham Ashnami Kaman Na Datagni Otre Na Brahmana Istulye Bhutam Anyat Pashyami Viprakim Ataparam Tu Yasmin Nibi Prahutam Shradhayahum Ashnami Kamana Tatagni Hote Please chant. Na Nat Brahmani with the Brahmins. Tulaye, I count as equal. Bhutam, entity. Anyat, other. Pashyami, I can see. Vipra, O assembled Brahmins. Kim, anything. Atta, to the Brahmins. Param, superior. Tu, certainly. Yasmin, through whom. Nibi, by people. Brahutam, food offered after ritualistic ceremonies. Shraddhaya, with faith and love. Aham, I. Ashnami, eat. Kama, with full satisfaction. Na, not. Tata, in that way. Agnihotre, in the fire sacrifice. Translation and purport. O respectful Brahmins, as far as I'm concerned, no one is equal or superior to the Brahmins in this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive after performing rituals according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of a Brahmin. When food is thus offered unto me, I eat it with full satisfaction. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than from the food offered in the sacrificial fire. According to the Vedic system, after the sacrificial ceremony, the Brahmins are invited to eat the remnants of the offered food. When the Brahmins eat the food, it is to be considered directly eaten by the Supreme Lord. Thus, no one can be compared to qualified Brahmins. The perfection of evolution is to be situated on the Brahminical platform. Any civilization not based on Brahminical culture or guided by Brahmins is certainly a condemned civilization. Now human civilization is based on sense gratification, and consequently more and more people are becoming addicted to different types of things. No one respects Brahminical culture. Demonic civilization is attached to Ugra Karma, horrible activities, and big industries are created to satisfy unfathomable lusty desires. Consequently, the people are greatly harassed by government taxation. The people are irreligious and do not perform the sacrifices recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Yagnad bhavati payojanya. By the performance of sacrifice, clouds form and rain falls. Because of sufficient rainfall, there is sufficient production of food. Guided by the Brahmins, society should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita, then people will become very happy. Anad bhavanti bhutani. When animals and man are sufficiently fed with grains, they become stronger. Their hearts become tranquil, and their brains peaceful. They can then advance in spiritual life, life's ultimate destination. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamene Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatate Suttarine Nam Brahmanastulaye Bhutamanyat Pasyami Viprakim Ataparam tu yasmin nibi parhutam shrad ayaham asnami kamana tatagni hotre. So we gained faith ourselves, we gained the shraddha to respect Brahminical culture by learning about Srila Prabhupada and seeing Srila Prabhupada. Just as Rishabhadev is here recommending and teaching the value of Brahminical culture, Srila Prabhupada also did this, and from his teaching and from his example we learn respect for the Brahminical culture. Yesterday, we read a purport in which Prabhupada recommended electing Brahmins because this is the democratic side of the world. We elect leaders nowadays every place, but Prabhupada recommended that the Brahmins be elected as the leaders. But he says also that no one respects this Brahminical culture, so demonic civilization is very much advanced, and people don't want their children to grow up learning how to be a Brahmin. They think, you know, the children have to be trained how to earn money. And there's a big problem that the cows are not protected. Srila Prabhupada used to quote the verse, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So Brahminical culture means not just the Brahmins, but it includes the cows. And when both the Brahmins and cows are taken care of, then the world can be peaceful. That's what Prabhupada was teaching. The Brahmin and the cow have to be honored. In one lecture, Prabhupada said if the UN, the United Nations, if the nations there would just declare, now they're having their meeting, some annual meeting is going on. Now if they would declare that the whole world belongs to Krishna, in the United Nations, if they declared that, then the world could become peaceful, Prabhupada said. Of course, we're not sectarian. We could say, well, okay, the whole world belongs to Krishna, or Allah, if you have, you know, the idea that God is Allah. Or you could say the world belongs to Jesus, you know, the Christians. But there's a problem there, because the Islamic and Christian and Jewish religions are not against the slaughter of animals. So it's only if you declare Krishna to be the owner of the whole world that you'll find that there's a strong interest in cow protection and the abolishment of cow slaughter. And Prabhupada warns that if you don't do this, if you actually don't respect the Brahmins and the cows, you'll degrade to animal society yourself. You'll become like animals yourself. You won't be a human society. I'll read what he wrote in the light of the Bhagavad. The killing of cows by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies. Suicidal in the sense that you're killing the self. You're killing your human identity. You're not a human being if you're killing the cows. And those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first toward the question of cow protection. So in ISKCON, we get a great opportunity to advance in this way. Our spiritual advancement in this direction takes place. We learn about goshalas. We established goshalas just a couple nights ago. We welcome two bull calves to our goshala. One of my godbrothers, well, several of my godbrothers are into cow protection. Kurma Rupa, Shyama Sundar, Kurma Rupa in Vrindavan. His whole cow protection program began when he was staying at the Gurukula in Vrindavan. He was just taking care of an ashram, taking care of some boys. And he liked to photograph the cows, so he would go out and take pictures of the cows in Vrindavan. And if you went into his room, you'd see the pictures of the cows on his wall. And then at some point he moved to a flat of his own, and there was a little extra property there that wasn't being used, just some dirt, you know, next to the apartment building. And he turned it into a goshala. He began to take care of a few stray cows. And now he takes care of hundreds and hundreds of cows. And he publishes a monthly newsletter about how to take care of cows. He promotes the whole idea of Goshala, and same it now in the UK, Bhaktivedanta Manor. At the beginning, you know, when there was a cow, there was maybe a cow or two there, a little Goshala, but it took about 35 years for the present Goshala to manifest. The interest had to become strong, the support of the community had to be strengthened, so it took time. Now, the other side, that's the good side of cow protection. The negative side is the cow slaughter that goes on. McDonald's, for example, it was established in 1955, 10 years before ISKCON. And since then, they are proud to say, 250 billion hamburgers have been sold. 250 billion. Now, someone did research and they found that from one cow you can obtain 2,025 hamburgers. So if you do the math, that means they've killed 122 million cows. And in the last 5 years, their sales have been increasing. They've killed as many cows in the last 5 years as they did in the first 50 years. It's really increasing. They've gone worldwide. They opened more centers than ISKCON. Now they kill 25 million cows per year, or about 68,000 cows a day. Now just consider, we're trying to protect 5 cows. They're killing 68,000 cows a day. So some people are still a little civilized. They want to protest this, so they look for ways. How can we really protest this? So it's hard to do. But one method they've been using lately, those who are against McDonald's, they've protested and said, you have to stop marketing your food to children. They offer toys with their fast food to lure the children to the McDonald's. In their advertising, the children find out, oh, I can get a toy. Let's go, Mom. Let's go, Dad. So the campaign is, okay, stop marketing to children. It's not fair. And this raises the parents' awareness also of what they should be feeding to their children. And some people who are in charge of the economies, the world economies, they're paying a little bit of attention to the problem, what we consider a problem, of people wanting to eat meat. You've heard of the United States Federal Reserve Bank. The chairman of that bank recently said that as people eat more beef and less grains, the demand for food and energy increase. And that's the primary long-term factor affecting the real price of food. If people want more beef and less grains, it increases the price of food. The economists are aware of that. So the rising food prices are there in the world. And there's such an imbalance in the resources that are used to produce cows and grains. 18 times more oil and gas is used to produce beef than wheat. 15 times as much land. 200 times as much water to produce beef as wheat than wheat. And what to speak of, course, the miserable conditions and the untold suffering to the cows. So we see the problem philosophically. You know, we understand that there are the modes of nature, and it's the mode of ignorance and it's the mode of passion that are producing, making people do these things. They're not enlightened. They're not in the mode of goodness. So they act this way without sense control. And they don't really become happy. In the long run, they have to suffer the reactions to this. And just to become more and more greedy and to demand all these types of food, meat, to demand meat and fish and eggs, just to enjoy the senses, it doesn't produce satisfaction and happiness. And as Prabhupada said, it makes you like an animal yourself. This week I was reading this book by an author named Boethius. He wrote in the year 500 AD, so 1500 years ago. And he was aware of these problems. He wrote, "It is goodness that raises a man above the level of other men, and it is vice that thrusts a man down below the human condition, so that he no longer deserves to be called a human being. One given over to vice is therefore no longer deemed a man." So now he describes concretely how a human being becomes animalistic. One who plunders others' wealth is burning with greed, and you could say that he's now a wolf. The wild one who's given to quarrels and lawsuits, you could call a dog. The trickster with his cons and scams is a fox. The angry one who roars and cannot govern his anger is a lion. The coward who's afraid of everything is a deer. The stupid oaf is a jackass. The fickle one who follows his whims is a flighty bird. A man wallowing in his lusts is a pig. All those who have put goodness aside have no right to be called men anymore, since there's nothing divine about them, but they have descended to the level of beasts. So it's not a new problem, but it's very much accelerated now because of the development of technology and so on. The standard of the Brahmins is to be satisfied with a minimum, huh? The Goswamis in Vrindavan are the example. They had high government posts, they renounced their wealth, and they accepted the life of a simple Brahmin. They minimized eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Ahara means eating. Nidra means sleeping, baya, fearing, and maituna, sex. And Prabhupada said, you see the monkeys, they're also in Vrindavan, and you'll find one male monkey followed by 36 female monkeys. So that is not a Vrindavan vasi, not the Vrindavan vas life. So if we don't follow the Brahminical culture, Prabhupada warned us, then we'll just use the temple for ahara and nidra, eating and sleeping. We'll think, I have to be regulated, you know, prasadam is at 9 o'clock, I have to be on time. But, I don't have to be on time for Mangalartik, I can sleep at that time. So not everyone is a Brahmin. Not everyone is inclined to become a Brahmin. There are people even in ISKCON who are not so Brahminically inclined. Actually, we all are like that. We're all in need of training to become Brahmins. A Brahmin practices tapasya. Yesterday, Gopinathacharya read from Upanishad, and in the description of tapasya was Someone who studies and teaches. Prabhupada also gave definition. He says, being practiced to suffer. What is that suffering? That's tapasya. And he said it begins with celibacy. We're practiced to sex life. We're practiced to enjoying our senses. And tapasya means, okay, stop that. Reduce that. Reduce the eating, the sleeping, the mating, and the defending. So, and then he talks about ISKCON. Therefore, this Krishna Consciousness Center is meant for practicing this Shamo, Damo, Tatiksa. We want to see how a person is eligible to control the senses. So some new people come, and as soon as they are given some work, which is not very good for their sense gratification, they go away. That means they're not prepared for the brahminical life. And it's better they go away. It's better they go away. In Bengal it is said, Dushta Goru Te Sunya Goalo. If there is a troublesome cow, better don't keep the cowshed. Don't keep the cowshed. Or keep the cowshed without the troublesome cow. Don't allow the troublesome cow in. So Krishna consciousness is meant for elevating the animal class of men to the platform of Brahman. And therefore the sacred thread ceremony takes place. And when one is practiced in Shamo, Damo, Tatiksa, and so on, and he's learned what is Krishna, how to satisfy Krishna, then he gets this second initiation. He's in the mode of goodness then. Here in this verse, Rishabh is glorifying the Brahmins as being the topmost evolution of human life. And Krishna had this pastime with the Brahmins, and the Brahmins weren't so receptive to giving Krishna food. Krishna knew about this food that had been offered in the sacrifice, and he said, let's get that. Let's ask the Brahmins for that. And they wouldn't give it. But then Krishna said, let's ask their wives. I think the wives will give us something. So he found out the wives were happy to feed him. But generally he praises the Brahmins. Two important examples are Sudama Brahman, who visited Dwarka. His old classmate Sudama was living without anything practically, in a very poor state. And he was just engaged in bhajan. So he wasn't trying to earn money. He accepted his poverty. But then he really wasn't poor, Prabhupada said. He was wealthy because he was engaged in spiritual life. So he was the richest person. And he said that about India. He said sometimes people criticize India. Oh, it's a very poor country. But if people are actually cultivating the wealth of India, the knowledge, the spiritual practices offered in India, then they're not poverty-stricken. They may neglect material acquisitions, but they're not poverty-stricken. So when Sudama came, then Krishna said, oh, my dear friend, sit down here. And he brought water and washed the feet, just like is done for a respectable person, a guru or a Brahmin. That's etiquette. And Krishna was showing personally, he was the king and the supreme personality of Godhead, and he respected a Brahmin. And when Narada used to come to Krishna, immediately he would get down from the seat and offer obeisances, and Narada was smiling. Just see Krishna's lila. So that's a Brahmin. And in Rishabhadev's time, maybe in Satya Yuga, we can imagine it was very nice. Now, in later ages, Prabhupada says they're taking advantage of the facility offered to the Brahmins. So without having the qualification, they want the facility for nothing. Very cheap Brahmins. You know, you can get the Brahmin's thread for maybe one pice, two pice in the market. But they're not prepared to practice Sama Dhamma Tatiksha. First deserve, then desire. That's how it should be. Without deserving, they've desired, and then the whole thing has become false. So that's not the purpose of the Brahminical culture. Without real culture, you cannot remain a Brahmin. So then Prabhupada was saying in his lecture on this same verse that we're studying today in Vrindavan, he said, so we have the four principles, no meat eating, no sex, illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And if you keep to these, then you remain a Brahmin and you become a Vaishnava. Guaranteed. And Krishna takes care of you. There's no strength for Maya to touch you. You may be worried. Well, Maya will come in. How will I maintain my renunciation? If you're attached to Krishna, then you're all right. Just like the police department, they don't come and bother us. We follow enough of the rules, enough of the laws, so that the police leave us alone. We're good citizens. So similarly, Maya will leave us alone. Unless we become unqualified, then Maya will give us a hard time. So not that we should just make a business, like having Bhagavat Saptaha. Prabhupada used to criticize the Bhagavat Saptaha. I noticed yesterday on the internet, I was on the Mayapur TV station, and I tuned into a program in Surat, Gujarat. ISKCON has a Bhagavat Saptaha going on. So ISKCON has used this. Everybody, it's kind of like trying to dovetail the Bhagavat Saptaha, which is well known. People think, oh, Bhagavat Saptaha, let's go. So ISKCON sometimes holds these, even though Prabhupada says, you know, it's just a business. So they try to produce the real thing. The real thing is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, where you serve the Bhagavatam, you hear the Bhagavatam, and you serve the Bhagavat on a daily basis, always Nityam, not just 7 days. The 7 day Bhagavat Saptaha comes from Maharaj Parikit. He heard the Bhagavatam 7 days. Okay, there's some ideas for you. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Yes, Mother. Was Prabhupada's objection to the Bhagavad Saptaha that money was asked? People were earning money for their speaking. I've spoken, now you give some dakshina. That might have been part of it. And another part of it, yeah, he said business. And another part of it was that people would, in this way they would think, well, I'm using the shortcut method. I go for 7 days, so I've done my duty. My religious duty is over now. I can wait another year until there's another Bhagavad Saptaha, something like that. Like the joke about the two Indian ladies, they were talking about their husbands, and one said to the other, does your husband go to the temple regularly? Yes, the lady said, he does. He goes every Janmashtami. So that's regular going, but it's only once a year. So it's a shortcut. You know, I'll go once a year, then my duty will be finished. I don't have to think about Krishna for the rest of the time. So that, Prabhupada wanted to discourage that kind of thinking. And he said, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, every day, service to the Bhagavatam. Yes, Pratima? No. How? What about the rule, deserve than desire? Do we deserve Krishna, or can we just desire to deserve or desire Krishna? We should deserve. And in one sense we do. We're constitutionally part of Krishna, so we do already. It's our birthright to serve Krishna. But if our desire is to serve Maya, then we're disqualified. We have to let go of our attachments and or dovetail our attachments or and learn from Krishna's servant how to serve him. Krishna is pleased if we learn from his servant. He says those who try to be my devotee directly, they're not really my devotee. Someone's my devotee who's the servant of the servant or the devotee of the devotee. So we'll become deserving. Prabhupada's willing to give us the qualification, you know, okay, now you deserve it. As he said, we have our centers and you learn how to be qualified. And so we can develop our relationship with Krishna through the methods offered by the qualified teacher. Is that okay? Yeah, some people are against protecting the cows, and there are groups who are trying to devise new ways to promote the proper care of cows. In England a lot, there are groups like that. Probably here too, I think, some. Yes. So much Maya beyond just the So some people you're saying are kind of like devotees. They follow the four principles to some extent, or maybe in the same way devotees do. You're saying, But still they're in Maya because they're not devotees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's more to it. It's not just the four principles. You have to chant Hare Krishna. If you don't have that part, then you'll be in the mode of goodness if you follow the four principles. Once Prabhupada defined the mode of goodness as following the four regulative principles. So you can be in the mode of goodness, but still not be transcendental. But if you chant Hare Krishna, then you'll be as much evolved as you can. You'll be higher and higher. Human being. And you'll transcend the modes of nature. And you'll learn how to be free of Maya. Maya will leave you alone. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Bhakti. Do you know some people personally like who do that?